From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Welcome, everyone. Yes, you're listening to Mind Health Matters with the Dr. Bernie Siegel, and this is the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network broadcasting, and his show is every Wednesday through Friday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time, so you can catch it there. You can listen to his archives, former shows that he has. You can ask Dream Vision 7 Radio Network to play on Alexa. You can do all kinds of things to listen to Bernie. And what's neat, if you're tuning in for the first time, Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. Now, Bernie has a guest today, Linda Noble-Toff. She is the author of both Wheelchair Wisdom, Awaken Your Spirit Through Adversity, and her first book was You Are Not Your Illness, Seven Principles for Meeting the Challenge. Linda has had MS for 30 years, and her main objective is letting people know that there's value in everyone, even though they may be ill or they may be in wheelchairs. So Bernie's going to be asking her all kinds of questions, and I should mention that the Wheelchair Wisdom is number one Amazon international book selling in 2017. So Bernie, incredible Bernie, that is. Go right ahead.
All right. I mean, I think of so many things, there's no time for a guess. You know, but because it's just the beauty of your introduction. You know, why did she end up, and I'll ask you about this also, Linda, for you to share with people that, you know, why do you end up a survivor rather than, you know, lying in a bed or slumped in a wheelchair somewhere? And I have to tell you something from a boy with Down syndrome, because he had his troubles, and he said, some people come over and talk to me, and other people see I'm different, and they walk away from me. He said, that's the group that's retarded. And it's just, again, accepting yourself. And I know one other thing I wanted to share before I ask you a question. My wife, who died this year, was diagnosed with MS about 50 years ago. And I always remember the doctor, the neurologist, calling me after she visited him and said, I'll meet you in the hospital cafeteria. So I met him there. And then he tells me what's going to happen to my wife, you know, how long she'll live, what will go on. And I thought, why are we sitting in the hospital cafeteria where I can't be, you know, her husband in an emotional sense, and react to you? And I thought, yeah, I know why. You put me here so I can't do all that. And all his predictions, of course, didn't come true. Because as I sat there with him, I pictured myself as a single father of five children, you know, just devastated. But that's when I really learned about the other world, you know, holistic medicine, attitude, survivor behavior, and so forth. But I think that that has to be a part of how we grow up. And I mean that literally. And that's part of what I was going to say to you, Linda. What made you look in the mirror and say, hey, I can love myself and my life, and I can teach people something, rather than, you know, curl up and become your disease? So, Linda, go ahead.
Thank you, Bernie. Hi, everybody. When the doctor first, the doctor at University of Pennsylvania Hospital, diagnosed me, he said, you know, it's too bad you're so cute. You know you're going to be in a wheelchair. And at that point, That's all I needed to hear. Because I just walked out. I said, you have no idea who you're talking to. And I think I've always had that spirit of can do. I've always been that way. And so, of course,
let me interrupt a second, because this is where I really think it's important for people to hear. Where do you think that got into you? Was it your parents who were like therapists as you grew up and helped you, or any other source?
I grew up, I was a graphic designer. I was an artist growing up. And I remember in art school, I went to Moore College of Art, and I remember when there was a teacher, I'll never forget his name, I won't say it, but he put a nurse's hat on my head when I was doing new drawings. He said, you know, you really should go to nursing school. And I said, I don't think you know who you're talking to. I think that spirit was always within me.
Yeah.
So when I got diagnosed with MS, it was like, okay, next. So what did I do? I ran an organization. I wrote a book called You Are Not Your Illness. I ran an organization called the MS Initiative. It was not going to defeat me. It actually, as you know, Bernie, because it strengthened me, it gave me a catapulted, why I'm here. I went on to get my master's in psychology and became an ordained minister. You know, it's not about Linda anymore. It is about giving. It is about where can I serve? Who can I serve? Who needs to hear my words? Or feel my heart?
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers your question.
No, but well, I think the art part. I was an artist as a child too. I mean, not as a profession. I became a surgeon to use my hands like you would as an artist. But I remember so many people with serious illnesses saying things like, the canvas is not finished, there's more color on the palette. You know, if you see yourself as that work of art, you don't quit a painting and throw it away. You keep working on it, you know, till it looks the way you want it to look. And I think, again, that artist in you is a big part of your survival. And a lot of times, nurses don't take it. You know, he said to you, you ought to be a nurse. But most of the time, nurses don't take as good care of themselves as they should because they're so busy taking care of everybody else, you know, being everybody's mother and ignoring themselves. So I think that I would say if there is a nurse in you, it's an unusually healthy one in terms of the nursing personality. Yeah.
And it wasn't always that way. I mean, I grew up. My mother would just feed me cheese, you know. And in my our artist days, that was 3 packs of Sound cigarettes a day and 12 cups of coffee. You know, it was like that in the late 60s. And at some point, my dear husband, he'd always say, you know, like, and he ran a health food restaurant in Woodstock, New York. And at one point he said, I'm going to show you how to eat. And because my refrigerator was no vegetables or nothing. I had no idea how to eat. And so in the creation of putting paint on the blank canvas, I had to develop who I was. And part of that were people in my life, including you, Bernie, and Michael would come into my life and say, this is how you eat, and had to develop the building blocks of thinking, courage, and giving back, and learning all the things that make up a human being.
Yeah, but at the same time, everybody listening.
It was a long journey. It was not like, oh, I always ate healthy. It was not.
You have
like
to learn to care for yourself.
Part of the journey, but it was part of the discovery of who I was and the voice.
Yeah, but here's a question. See, why didn't you say, oh, look what the hell happened to me. Who cares what I eat? You know?
I'm here.
I deserve to eat all the wrong things because look what I'm going through. Instead, you said, no, let me take care of myself. See, why didn't you decide the other and say, I'm just going to do what I want to do?
At some point, I had to look in the mirror and choose life. And that was a shift. It was like, you're here, and you can choose life or not. Because that's always a choice. We always are presented with a choice. And here I was. I had an opportunity to choose my life or not. And I chose life, and within that was learning how to develop spiritually and physically and intellectually and creatively. It was all an aspect of putting more color on the canvas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know where it came from. I think it's in Jewish religion. I place before you life and death, good and evil, choose life. Because when you choose life, everything you do is enhancing. If you just say, what's good for me, it may not really be good for you and certainly may not be for others. But when you choose life and have faith, amazing things can happen.
Because I look at the kids out now, and the kids and the millennials, and I say, what are you doing? Have you really thought about what you're doing? No, I just take it one step at a time, and it's a very conscious, clean journey when you choose where you're going.
Yeah.
And so when the obstacles come in, and they will, then you can choose those obstacles, not as bad or good or up or down or in or out. The obstacles are part of the journey.
Right. And I think if we have people like you to coach us, and as well as you finding other people to coach you, that's an enormous help. When you come to the obstacle, they help you to get over it. They show you the best way. They don't tell you, you know, they don't just criticize you about what you're doing or not doing. They coach you and guide you. And that's why I think having somebody like you on is to help other people, to listen to you and then have guidance. You know, they could say, what would Linda do now? But, you know, rather than, oh, look what's happened, you know, that you could begin to love your body. I mean, I know people with neurological problems who were wasting away, and one young lady said, I don't want to die hating my body, because she'd also had polio as a child. And she told me, I'm sitting naked in front of the mirror now, loving my body inch by inch. And the miracle, of course, was that she didn't die. Loving her body, everything changed inside her, too. And that's something people need to understand. I mean, your physical body responds to all these emotional feelings and decisions. So why I say it's survivor behavior, that somebody like you outlives all expectations, as did my wife, because of the kind of life we selected and chose and attitude and everything else.
And choosing to love yourself is not easy, because underneath that is forgiveness.
Right.
Forgiving, that's hard for me to forgive my body for betraying me. I used to be a dancer and a runner, and it's like, I forgive myself, I forgive my body, I love myself regardless. I was in front of the mirror. I did mirror exercises, like eyeball to eyeball, and I love myself. Mm. And I tell clients to do that, and I have a whole process. And my book, You Are Not Your Own, not on my book, Wheelchair Wisdom, I have a process at the end of loving yourself. People don't know how to do that.
Right.
It's much easier to look in a mirror.
Or brought up with it, you know? If you're not brought up with love as a child, it's awfully hard to learn to what I call reparent yourself. You know, if other people come along who love you, that makes a difference. But doing it yourself is damn hard. You know, we're more likely to look in the mirror and see what's wrong rather than what's right. But, you know, something I tell a lot of people is take pictures of yourself as a child. And some will say, I don't have any. My parents never took any. But find pictures of yourself and put them up around your home, where you work. And every time you walk past the picture, let that kid know, hey, I love you. It may sound crazy, but it feels good to just give yourself some love. And in a sense, I have a painting of myself when I was not in a good place with all my emotions and feelings. So I painted myself as a surgeon, all covered up, which I had to learn is what I was doing, was covering up all my feelings. But, you know, I could look at that guy now and say, hey, I'm sorry what you had to go through. You know, I love you. And so I don't have trouble looking at that painting now because it taught me something about myself and what I needed to uncover.
One of the things from my journey, I remember in art school reading about Socrates, and I'm going to read, but this really shifted for me. Socrates said, know thyself. In Shakespeare's Hamlet, Polonius said, to thine own self be true. But what self are we talking about? And what self should we be true? And what is the self? Where is the self even located? And on second thought, which self is actually reading or listening to these words? And so one of my journey is like, well, let me find out who the self is.
Mm.
And is it? And in my book, I went through. Now there's a whole process discovering the true self and the false self, and then we go through exercises in deepening courage and deepening understanding, and how does the false self look at that? How does the true self look at that? And when you start identifying yourself as your true self and the aspects of the true self, which is basically love and stillness and understanding, acceptance, and you honor those pieces, and you flip side of that, and there's an illness, and looking at illness from a false self place, and that's basically where the medical established points to. Illness is bad. No, illness is an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to see what's underneath that. You know, I was told that, I mean, I haven't walked, well, you know me, Bernie, I haven't
right.
walked in a long time. I've been in a wheelchair, I don't know, many, many, 30 years or so. And but it's not that's an opportunity for me to move, to go to do seminars in New York City, to go down to Washington. But that the wheelchair is a metaphor for me, so that I can move further and deepen who I am, regardless of the medical of the wheelchair. So my wheelchair is bright red. So what? But I'm an artist. Of course it's going
right.
to be bright red.
And we're all wounded. See, I think if I see you in a wheelchair, I know I can talk to you about my troubles, because you've got troubles. And that's what we forget about each other. The fact that people aren't in a wheelchair doesn't mean that they don't have a wound or a problem. And I'd say we need to accept that about each other.
But perhaps I can understand you better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perhaps I can accept. Perhaps I can...
Right. You know, let me... I have to interrupt you, because I always say
okay.
I go to Stop and Shop for group therapy, because I know everybody's got trouble, so I just talk to everybody as if I knew them. But one day, one lady poked me in the back, and I turn around, and it's a woman with a bandage over her eye. And she said to me, it really blew me away, you are the only person in Stop and Shop who hasn't asked me what happened. Can you imagine? You know, it's like if you're there in a wheelchair, everybody comes over and says, hey, how come you're in a wheelchair? What happened? But me and my crazy sense of humor, I said, oh, yeah, I know what happened. I have an abusive spouse also. So then she gave me a look like, but that impressed the hell out of me. that she has a visible wound and everybody talks to her. And I often say to people, you want to learn about the people you work with or your family, whatever, what they've gone through, put a bandage on some part of your body the next time they're coming over. And watch what they tell you about themselves now that they see you got a problem. So I don't know if you've noticed that, whether people are more likely to share their troubles with you because they know you'll understand them.
Well, I have my master's in psychology, and I counsel people. I counsel people a lot on the telephone because people may be, quote, wounded or too ill to see me, and it's easier for people to speak to me on the phone.
Yep.
They may not be able to see me, but they can hear me. They can hear my compassion over the phone.
And you can listen.
And I can listen.
Yeah.
Listening is probably the greatest skill I think I've developed.
Yeah, and let me compliment
you. So we're coming up on a break. And for everyone out there, this is Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. If you'd like to connect with Dr. Bernie, you can go on his site, BernieSiegelMD.com, and it's spelled S-I-E-G-E-L, BernieSiegelMD.com. And for those out there, we're going to give you a special code when we come back if you'd like to get 15% off of Bernie's books. We'll be back in a moment.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every week, Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. and 12 a.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For 40 years, Omega has been a gathering place for great thinkers, creative talent, spiritual teachers, and social visionaries. With 390 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Lee Harris is an energy intuitive, author, and teacher dedicated to bringing new light to our changing world. Take the next step in your personal evolution in his Energy Mastery Workshop at Omega Institute, August 10th to 12th. Through energy work, channeling, body work, and sound healing sessions, you expand your emotions, perceptions, and consciousness, and shift how you perceive and experience the world. For 20% off, mention discount code DREAM when you register for Energy Mastery with Lee Harris at Omega, August 10th to 12th. Learn more at eomega.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. We are with Dr. Bernie Siegel. If you've been under a rock, Dr. Bernie Siegel is a famous international author and MD, and started a cancer group that is famous for bringing people together, more women than men, as he will share. And we're with our radioactive family. I'm Deborah Beauvais, and we also have Lionel Ketchian, and our special guest is Linda Noble Toff. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with Linda, you can go on her site, and that is wheelchairwisdom.com, just as it sounds, wheelchairwisdom.com. You can obtain her book. She is the number one American international book author for 2017, and we are talking about how to inspire yourself and others and through self-love, even though we may have disabled bodies. And so go right ahead, Bernie.
Yeah, Linda, you said something that's very powerful and rare for people to see. Say, I often ask, which do you prefer? Tomorrow morning, you have to wake up either blind or deaf. Which would you choose? And except for musicians, people say, I'd rather be deaf. They're also afraid of the darkness. But Helen Keller taught me something years ago when I was reading her works. She said, I've heard of the stars or the rainbows or the play of light on the waves. These I would like to see. But far more than sight, I wish my ears to be open. The voice of a friend, the imaginations of Mozart, deafness is darker by far than blindness. And you just talked about that, you know, about listening to people and not wanting to be deaf. And again, I got to give you a pat on the back. I mean, you're an amazing lady. You know, you're such an example of what everyone who wants to survive and use their life in a positive way, not just live, but participate in it. And let me, I know I can't stop talking. That's my problem. But I've got to read you a quote. I just looked down. It was lying on my desk because it's just what you said. I cannot believe that the purpose of life is to be happy. And Lionel, think about this with the Happiness Club. Maybe we should change the name. I cannot believe that the purpose of life is to be happy. I think the purpose of life is to be useful, to be responsible, to be compassionate. It is above all to matter, to count, to stand for something, to have made some difference that you lived at all. That's from Leo Rostin. I think, of course, that when you find a purpose, you find your happiness. So I think they go together. But certainly what you've shared, Linda, is such an example of what all the wise sages of the past have shared with us. And we keep rediscovering it. But I think listening to you can help people so they don't have to learn from a disaster. They'll be prepared for life.
Let me tell you a little bit more. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. There are, like, a number of ways to listen. We have listening as in, hurry up, speak, because I know what I'm going to say next. And people listen like that. They listen knowing what they're going to say next. And then there's the kind of listening of, I'm much better than you, and watch what I'm going to say next. Then there's neutral listening of actually listening from the other person's eyes, going back into their experience, going backwards, and seeing really who these people are and what they are saying and listening from there. That's true listening. Mm-hmm. But most people on this planet, they listen from, oh, quick, say, I know what I'm going to say next. And they listen from there. And so they're listening to themselves rather than listening to what another person is sharing. And I think that's been my greatest gift of actually being quiet.
Yeah, and listening. I mean, I can't remember who the therapist was who said to me, Bernie, if you want to help people, just go, for 30 minutes while they're talking. And this happened in my office doing that. At the end of this long conversation, that was almost an hour, in which all I had said was, the woman said to me, that is the greatest conversation I've ever had with anyone. And, you know, she heard herself for the first time, I think, in her life and knew, and I got the credit for it. But it's so hard for us to listen rather than say, no, this is what you need to do. And, you know, when you're bringing up kids, too, I know that if you keep telling them that, they get upset and begin to tell you that you're no help. And, you know, I've heard that. You're no help. That meant I wasn't listening. I was telling them what to do. Yeah.
And ask their permission of, how do you want me to listen? Do you want me to tell you what I know? Mm. Do you want me to give you recommendations and other things to do? Or do you want me to just listen and hear you? And people just don't know actually what to do with that question.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think that they have a choice in how to listen.
I mean, one of my sayings is always, let your heart make up your mind. I mean, let your heart do the listening, not your head. You know? I mean, there are times where people need practical advice.
Of course.
When they're talking about their life and feelings and making choices about treatment, like you're saying that the therapy you do, that's why I often work with drawings. I'll say to people, draw a picture of yourself, you know, doing these things, and then let's look at it. So it isn't just, what do you think is the best thing for me to do, but you can see the symbols of it, or even in a dream, know, you know, the right thing to do.
Mm. One of the...
Lionel, you had a thought?
Yeah, well, yes, but before I engage in the one thought that Linda, you know, evoked in me, I gotta respond to Bernie and, you know, the changing the name of the Happiness Club. But not that I'm ready to do that, but no, Bernie, but Bernie, you are 100% correct. It turns out that the primary reason I think we need a Happiness Club and that people can be happy and learn how is because I have found that people who become happy become more compassionate. I think happiness is the ultimate in responsibility and usefulness. We feel more and ultimately meaning in our lives. So I think happiness brings people into that circle of love, peace, compassion, freedom, you know, all these names
right.
that we're giving it. But I also want to address what Linda said about the authentic self or the true self and loving ourselves. You know, I practically grew up, you know, because I knew about Bernie's book in 1986 when he first published it, and I had him on my radio show back then, August 13th, 1986, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. So back then, that word love that he used, and, you know, we still wonder what that word really means, but what I have found it means for me is when I listen to someone else, like when I listen to Bernie or Linda or Deborah, when I'm listening to each of you, in actuality, I enter you, I become you, I feel tremendous love for each of you, so that you're making me feel complete. In fact, you've given me more room than just living in myself, if you can comprehend what I'm saying. In other words, it's like living in an apartment to live within myself. But as soon as the people who come in my life open the door, it's like entering their mansion. So my living space becomes incredibly large. So I've got to tell you that I've experienced love by entering people and feeling one with them. So that's, and then after I feel love for them, my love for myself intensifies because it's part of them. That's a feeling I've been getting.
That's so beautiful. Mm. Thank you so much, Lionel.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think love, in a sense, unites us all.
It's because we are love. We just forget about it.
Yeah, it's what creation is about.
And then even to take it further, and I know you and I have spoken about this, Bernie, to take it even further, that we're all one,
mm-hmm.
and that I know my acceptance and forgiveness and love for myself and happiness for myself when I connect it to a higher purpose to a higher being, that it's, Linda, it's not you, but it is, you're here for a reason. Call it God, call it nature, call it love, call it Bernie Siegel. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's a higher place to come from. Right? And people say, well, what does wheelchair wisdom really mean? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just a conversation. Maybe it's just not a thing or a book.
I got a new answer for you.
But maybe it's a place to come from.
All right. But here's a new answer. Why don't you say it's what Jesus taught us?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. I mean, because someday, and I mean this, you know, how do I know you're not going to get up out of the wheelchair and take a walk tomorrow?
Right. I'll walk over to you.
I live with that potential. That's a word in my life, potential or hope. So I don't mind saying to God, you know, when my wife was alive, that I'd like her to be well, or today, if I have a back problem, hey, God, how about let's heal this? You know, and I visualize the love and the healing because I really know what we're capable of. So I'm not worried about, oh, you're a failure. You didn't do it right. You didn't get better. That's not my issue. To me, it's let's see what happens. Why not give it a try? I'm not afraid of failing. Well, as a matter of fact, you know, you keep saying an artist. It blew my mind because when I would ask people, draw a picture of yourself, your treatment, you know, I'm trying to help them. They come in and hand me a picture, and at the bottom it said, I have my 10-year-old son do this. I'm not good at drawing. Lady, I'm trying to help you save your life, and you're worried about the grade you're going to get in art? You know, it blew my mind that people are so fearful of doing it, and maybe I'll get it wrong. Maybe I'll fail the test.
It's, well, maybe, Bernie, I'm going to interrupt you if you don't mind. Maybe people are fearful of entering into living from possibility. And that's really scary for people.
Yeah, because of how they're brought up. Yeah.
Yes. Well, we're up on a break again, everyone. And for those out there, we'll be back with more Dr. Bernie Siegel. Don't go away.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every week, Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. and 12 a.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life. Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning, dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. With a 40-year track record, pioneering holistic studies, and helping more than a million people find a deeper sense of purpose, Omega is known the world over as a trusted source for an integrated approach to personal growth and social change. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
The Celebrate Life Festival is coming to the United States for the first time, and it's happening at Omega. Don't miss this rare opportunity to join modern-day mystic Thomas Hubel, along with guest teachers, artists, and musicians. In the spirit of creative collaboration, you'll explore ways to restore a fragmented world and help co-create a new future for us all. To receive 20% off, use discount code DREAM when you register for the Celebrate Life Festival with Thomas Hubel at Omega, August 12th to 17th. Learn more at eomega.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Linda? I look at the spiritual laws when I was writing Wheelchair Wisdom, looking at the spiritual laws of acceptance and understanding and cooperation and enthusiasm. And I looked at those, and then within that, there are a number of skills and a number of the tools that come out. But those are the basic foundation. From my point of view.
Okay.
Then you can go into the creativity and the courage and gratitude and freedom and transformation. Foundation, from my point of view, is acceptance and cooperation, standing and enthusiasm.
It's an interesting combination. I think that...
Yeah.
You know, that it's almost what I think of as reparenting, that, again, and I mean that in the sense, you can have a conversation with people over the phone, I can talk to them. If we help the other person, you know, and then that transformation can begin to happen. We rebirth them, let's put it another way. You know, being born again is something that we can all do, start a new life.
If they're awake to receive it.
To receive what?
Right.
If somebody is out there and you're out there doing your transformation thing and somebody is shut down and cannot see it because they're too much into judgment or anger about themselves, they can't hear you. They
right.
can't hear you at all.
Oh no, they have to hear it. Yeah.
Absolutely,
and
that's
it.
What I'm saying. They've got to let go of their judgments of themselves so that they can actually open up to hear what you're saying.
Yeah, to give you a quote, just so people understand, from a woman. She said, "My mother's words were eating away at me and maybe gave me cancer. She dressed me in dark clothes so nobody would notice me as a child and told me I was a failure and embarrassed her." Now, that lady rebirthed herself when she did develop cancer. She said, "I now have permission to become my authentic self." The sad part, I said to her, was you needed to have a disaster to give you permission. I mean, I would say to everybody listening to this, you have permission. You don't need somebody else to come along to tell you it's okay to change. God loves you, and so do we. So it's okay. Go ahead. Rebirth yourself. Start again.
And then you start looking at the fear, the terror of people to actually jump into that space. People
well,
are scared
one lady,
to death. What happens if they disappear, or if they fail, or if nobody loves them anymore? I mean,
but if you see it as a labor pain, you will give birth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And one woman again wrote in a poem. I mean, giving birth to her child taught her about what she was going through. Because it was all worthwhile having the child, and then she said, if I give birth to myself, it makes all the pain worthwhile, too.
What did Elizabeth Kubler Ross say? You knew her, right?
Yeah.
Of the denial and anger and bargaining and acceptance.
Yeah, and then acceptance, that we work our way through it. But what I always hear from her is, Borni, there are no coincidences.
Right.
You know that we're the creators of our lives. So when you say, oh, look what happened. Wasn't I lucky? Wasn't this? You create those opportunities or those disasters by the choices you make every day. And she was one of the ones who taught me what I was covering up. Because I drew a picture for her. And she said, Borni, it's a white piece of paper. What are you using a white crayon for? What are you covering up? That was the beginning of my change.
What were you covering up?
Well, I was making snow. Oh, all my feelings as a doctor. That I couldn't, you know, cure people. I mean, it just tore my heart out, you know. I did a lot of children's surgery, and it's like, why did God do this to these kids? It just none of it made sense to me, because you don't get that training in medical school. You know, it's you're treating a disease, you're having detached concern, you're dealing with patients, and I cared. So it was really painful, really painful.
Maybe you and I and Lionel, we should go down to some of these cages these kids are put in.
Yeah. Hmm. It's, yes. I mean, just be there to give them some love. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've seen with children when I have loved them. I learned that. I can't cure you, but I can love you. And that's what they needed. And that's what they thanked me for years later. I mean, again, I can't help but tell stories. A young lady, I had taken care of her sister, so she fell into the fireplace on Christmas. She stumbled, fell into the fire with her arms, her chest. I mean, so the family called me to take care of her. And the mother said, I didn't remember this, but she used to scream at you every day, I hate you, when I would come in to change her dressings in the hospital. And because she was, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years old, and mad as hell at me, you know, for hurting her. And the mother said, one day you said to her, well, maybe someday you'll love me. I don't remember that, but that's the kind of things I used to do. But I got her one summer when she was wearing a 90-degree day, a turtleneck sweater with sleeves. And I said, Madeline, what is wrong with you? You know, it's 90. She said, yeah, but I'm ugly. I don't want people to see. But then she said, I need to get a job this summer. I said, I got a job for you, nursing assistant at a nursing home. And she said, oh, good, wonderful, thank you. What I knew was she had to wear a uniform, which would reveal all her scars. And she took the job. And when I saw her again, a month or so later, I said, well, how's the job going? Nobody noticed my scars. I said, Madeline, when you're beautiful, I mean, when you're loving others, you're beautiful. And then the gift to me was many years later, phone call, asking me to be her father at her wedding because her father had died. And the song that she had them play while we danced was Kenny Rogers, I never forget it. Through the years, you never let me down, you turned my life around. And that's the part that I think more people need to realize, too, that if we help each other, what a gift it is. It gets paid back. I forgot what that term is, you know. But it goes on. The love goes on. And the caring.
It's like a boomerang.
Yeah. And, you know, those are the things that make such a difference in your life. And those are things I didn't know how to do until a patient said, I need to know how to live between office visits. She said to me, you're a nice guy, but I can't take you home with me. So I need to know how to live. And that shifted my whole life. One of my partners even said to me, see, when you think about the physical change that happens too, I thought, okay, I'll start helping people how to live. You know, if I don't cure their disease, it's another issue. But if I help them live, they'll be able to manage. And one of my partners said to me, you're gone. This was in the office. I said, what are you talking about? I'm gone. He said, you're not the same person anymore. You're going to quit surgery. I thought he was nuts. But he was so right. He could see after that woman said to me, I need to know how to live. And I shifted my desires. I became a different person. And he was damn right.
You transcended. It was not about you anymore.
That's right. And it's the same for anybody listening. You know, if we find that place, what you were talking about, you know, if you're helping others, and not as a burden, but as your occupation, your desire, most people complain
about... Or as your ministry.
Yeah, yeah. But you see, the minister could complain about his congregation. The doctor complains about disease and patients. You know, the restaurant owner complains about the people who come in and eat there. That's, they're never going to enjoy. Yeah, one lady at the hospital was so wonderful and kind to everybody, I said to her, I used to do this in a way that they would scare them. I'd say, "What's your name?" And most of the people would say, you know, tell me their name and wonder, what the hell did I do? And then I'd bring them a gift to thank them for how nice they were to everybody, and that's why I asked what their name was. And I said to her, "What's your name?" And she said, "Sit down. I'll tell you a story." She was the only one who ever, you know, did that. And she started telling me that she hated the job, went to the office, and quit the same day she got the job. She said, "I couldn't stand the nurses and doctors." She said, "The patients were not the issue. But in the office, they said, you have to give 2 weeks' notice, so you can't go home." She said, "All right, you have the notice." And she said, "I got up every day for 2 weeks, miserable. The last day I went to work happy, and I noticed something. All the people around me were happy, so I didn't quit. I decided to come in happy." And that was several years from that date that she told me the story. And it's part of what you're sharing. You know, when you get up in the morning, you got a decision to make. Do I have a nice day or do I complain, you know, all day about the things I don't have? But when you go out to make it a better day for everyone, and I have to say to everyone, stop saying "how are you" to everybody. Tell them to have a nice day or just say "I love you" instead of "how are you, how you doing, I love you." You know?
Bernie, that was a beautiful story about the nurse that was going to quit in 2 weeks, yeah. And she came in happy. But, you know, happiness, I feel, is the cup that holds love, because then nobody could spill it on you. Because if you got that kind of foundation, and the other thing I'd say about love, and, you know, I've learned a lot of this from you as well, because I've been listening to you talk about love for, you know, 30 years, and that is, then nobody could stop love. If your intention is to send out love, to give love, that's all you have to do. And just sending it out. Yeah, and you know what? I just want to mention this. Just sending out love gives you a feeling of love.
Well, you become a love warrior. That's what I tell everybody. When somebody's driving you crazy, say, "I love you," and they don't know what to do.
And that's a perfect way to end the show, everyone.
Love is your weapon. And Linda, thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
You are a four-star teacher. God bless you.
A four-star, that's great.
I'll give you 5 stars, even.
I'll take it.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Everyone, until the next time, bye for now.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.